Very good morning to you, family. It is with Jesus' joy that I greet you this morning, and I trust that you woke up this morning with Jesus on your mind. I'm continuing the series on living faith, and I want to name this Lessons from the Heroes of Faith. Lessons from the Heroes of Faith. We managed to capture the important aspects of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, namely, now faith is the substance, things hoped for, the evidence, and of course, things not seen. These six aspects of this verse can revolutionize a believer from just being an ordinary believer and becoming a supernatural human being that's operating from the realms of the supernatural. Now, faith in this verse is translated from the Greek word pistis, meaning to persuade, to have confidence in, the assurance, and belief. Remember, when we move in the spiritual realm, there is no natural, tangible evidence. We operate by internal spiritual discernment rather than physical proof or intellectual understanding. God stakes his reputation and his integrity on every word he has spoken. This means that when we place our faith in something he has said, the responsibility to carry it out rests on him, not on us. We place our confidence in his ability and in his faithfulness. That's how it is. The word now, when we consider the word now, man is placed in the future what God has placed in the present. Man will always procrastinate, will have a negative attitude towards what can take place immediately. We're always pushing it to the future. So man has placed in the future what God has placed in the present. In the mind and the realm of God, both the future and the present exist together. In John chapter 4, Jesus asked his audience, "Why do you say 4 months more and then the harvest? You can harvest as soon as you plant." This naturally, beloved, is impossible. Basically impossible. It is, however, possible with God. Both the planting and the harvesting becomes one moment in God. You and I have the rare privilege of stepping into this moment. It is attainable and operational for sons of God who walk by faith. Now, faith is the currency with which we obtain the future now. He says things once and it manifests immediately. He says things once and it manifests immediately. For example, he said this once, "Let there be light." Immediately there was light. No trial and error, neither was there delay. Now Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6 for the will of the Father to manifest on earth, which is the seen realm, as it is in heaven, the unseen realm. He operated in the revealed faith of here and now and wants us to do so also. Every miracle he did was in the now. He did not confess 100 times or 200 times, "Lazarus, come out." No, no, no. He called Lazarus out once, and the man who was already dead for 4 days came out of his tomb alive. What is the principle? In Christ, all things are in the now. Outside of him, all things are subject to time. Secondly, faith is. Before we were born on earth, beloved, we existed in eternity. In God, we are first in the spiritual realm. And then we manifest in the physical realm. This is because with God, He finishes everything before He starts it. He determines the purpose of a thing before He creates that thing. Our responsibility is to discover what is in God's eternal realm so that we can bring it into the physical realm by faith. Now in Ephesians 1:4, this is what he tells us. We are God's beloved children, chosen from the foundation of the world. Now we must think and act from that perspective. God designed you to be saved, to be righteous, to be holy, to be at peace, to be joyful, to be blessed, to be healthy, to be free, to be prosperous, and much more. You don't have to wait for some time in the future to walk in these spiritual blessings. In fact, Ephesians 1:3 tells us and assures us that we have been blessed, past tense, with every spiritual blessing. Now you receive them now, would you? Join me. Let's receive all of these blessings that I mentioned. Let's receive them now. They have been secured. They have been signed off by the signature of God and the blood of Jesus. It's sealed for sons of God. All we have to do by faith, bring it into your now. Okay? So receive them now. Every blessing, receive them now. And if you don't need them, well, your children need them, or somebody needs them. Come on, you've got to prepare your life, align your life to God, and bring them and receive them into your now. Amen. Amen. The word substance. Faith is the main foundation on which hope rests. As mentioned in part 3, the Greek word translated substance is the word hypostasis, meaning a setting under or support. It is the assurance or title deed given to us. Hallelujah. When you have the title deed, after you completed paying your bond for your house, that title deed tells you that you owe nothing to the bank, that the property is now fully in your hand. While the title deed was in the hand of the bank, that the bank, well, you didn't own the property technically. The bank owned the property. But now, when you have the title deed in your hand, it means all the benefits attached to that property is yours. You can do what you want with that property. Hallelujah. Now, the word substance or hypostasis tells you that you have the title deed in your hand. Basically, exercise faith means to sit under the word of God, to rest on it, to submit to it, knowing that God will keep His word. Hallelujah. So you don't be shy to exercise your faith. Listen to this. When we rest, we are in faith. When we worry, we are not in faith. Even if we did not see it yet, but it is a reality because our Father has promised it. Hope is future, but faith is in the now. The foundation of this faith, active faith, living faith, is the Word of God. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:3. Faith believes God and His Word, whether it be the spoken word, the written word, the prophetic word, or the word made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Faith believes God and His Word. In Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These Hebrews could not have faith otherwise. Anything else would have been imagination, wishful thinking, fancy, etc. So I want you to say this after me. Say this after me. Get ready. Say this after me. Faith sees the impossible. Say that again. Faith sees the impossible. Secondly, faith believes the incredible. Faith believes the incredible. Thirdly, faith receives the impossible. Faith receives the impossible. And fourthly, say this, the supernatural rules the natural in my life. Say that again. The supernatural rules the natural in my life. I'd love to say those faith statements again. Faith sees the invisible. Hallelujah. Faith believes the incredible. Hallelujah. Faith receives the impossible. Hallelujah. And the supernatural rules the natural in my life. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 4 right up to 40, we get to know the various heroes of faith. But today I just want to cover three, Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Faith won't permit us to go further, yet it's such a beautiful study to go in and look at why these different characters were commended and appeared in this, what we call the Hall of Faith. It's very interesting to know why God allowed these names to appear. There are principles locked up. Each of these characters is a study on its own. Number two, they have principles attached to it, anointings and graces attached to these characters. And in our study, we can release and pray those principles into our lives for better living and successful breakthroughs in all that we want for our lives, the lives of our families. So the first hero of faith is Abel. And I want to entitle this the sacrifice of faith. Abel has to do with the sacrifice of faith. And this is not preaching today. This is teaching. I'm giving you some facts and some principles and some things to pray over in your life. Okay? So Abel is mentioned in chapter 11, and we want to talk about the sacrifice of faith. Now, Abel was a shepherd. His name means transitory, for such was his brief life. Another meaning of Abel is, I am nothing. I am nothing. I have nothing. I've got nothing. All I have is God. He is the first man of faith to be mentioned here. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. More excellent because it was what God commanded. Yes, this was after the fall. And in God's books or in God's economy, God wanted a blood atonement as a form of sacrifice. So Cain's offering was the fruit of the ground. You must know that the ground was cursed already by God. And out of that ground, he's bringing his offering. It was a product of his own efforts, his own sweat, his own toil, his own labor. God could not accept that which he had cursed. Neither could he accept any offering of man that was a product of his own works. Now, Cain's offering was a bloodless offering. Cain heard the word of God, like his brother, from his parents, and he did not believe it. His was a religion of works, of self-effort, not of faith. It was faith in what he could do and what he could produce. On the other hand, Abel heard the word of God and he believed it. His offering was that of a substitutionary death, a blood atonement. It was offered in faith. Blood atonement did not start with man, but with God. This was God's way of access. This was the way of faith. God can only be approached in the way he designs it. It would amount to arrogance to want to come to God the way we want to. How many times we grieve the Holy Spirit, beloved, by the manner in which we present our offerings to God. Never attempt to present your offerings to God out of convenience or in a mean and embarrassing manner. Like Abel, we need to worship in faith, not by the senses and not by the flesh. Once again, I encourage you all to present your tithe, your offering, and your first fruit with joy, with faith, with reverence, and with a satisfaction. Don't believe more in your money, beloved, than in the sincere observation of the principles that are in the Word of God. Cain's name means, I have acquired, I have gotten. It was a self-centered giving, and this is not accepted by God. What lessons can we learn from this hero of faith, Abel? Abel worshipped God with his giving on God's terms and not on his own like his brother Cain. One can give without worship, but one cannot worship without giving. Abel, through his worship, he brought an offering. His brother Cain brought a donation. Donations are given on man's terms, but offerings are brought on God's terms. According to Hebrews 11:4, the words more excellent are used. The meaning of excellent is threefold. In our context, this would be tithes, offering, and first fruit. I encourage you all, beloved, as your spiritual covering, as the father of the faith over you, to be faithful in your giving, to be faithful in your offerings, and to be faithful in the first fruit offering. Abel's giving confirmed his righteousness. The intent of the heart determines acceptance. What a beautiful statement. The intent of the heart determines acceptance. The scripture states that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We may fool other people, but we can never fool God. He sees and knows all things. Beloved, those that are robbing God, that are reluctant to give unto God their tithe and offering, God sees and knows all things. And sometimes you could be holding back your own blessing by being disobedient and reluctant to give unto God what belongs to Him. God saw which of them really had the willing heart to give. The prophet Samuel tells us in 1 Samuel 15:22, "Behold, to obey from the heart is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." The life of Abel teaches us that faith is not just a warm feeling inside of us. It is not just a belief in God. It is a living faith, beloved, demonstrated through actions. God was pleased with him. We must give to God worshipfully, lovingly, willingly, promptly, obediently, cheerfully, bountifully, liberally, consistently, fearlessly as a reflection of yourself already given to the Lord and in faith. Let's go to the second character, Enoch. Enoch has to do with the walk of faith. Abel, the sacrifice of faith. Enoch, the walk of faith. If Abel represented the sacrifice of faith, then Enoch represents the walk of faith. Enoch is the first person to escape death and become a type of end-time church that escapes death when Christ returns. I want you to take these following verses down, and in your own time, I want you to browse through these scriptures and see principles from the life of Enoch from these that are extracted from these scriptures. Genesis 5, 22 to 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. John chapter 8, verse 51 to 58. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. And I'd love you to read the whole book of Jude. It's only one chapter. The reason why I gave you these verses of scripture, I want you to go and listen to this teaching two or three times before you catch the principles that will liberate you or propel you towards the finish or towards the design intention of God for your life. The principle of Enoch's life was also faith. Faith towards God, not towards himself. His name means tuition or teacher or dedicated or disciplined or well regulated. His life becomes a remarkable picture of the end time saints who experience that translation power which Enoch did. Hallelujah. Now, where did he get this faith from? The only answer I would gather is from Romans 10:17. God spoke to him. He could not have imagined it. He must have had grounds for this faith. And this was by the word of God, which was the speaking of God. According to Hebrews 11:5, Enoch was taken away or translated. This was unnatural. In fact, it was supernatural. Enoch escaped the appointment with death, that is physical death. He bypassed the grave by experiencing resurrection life and the changeover to immortality. He was the first man to do so. He walked with God. He pleased God. This walk must have been deep and intimate and serious and, of course, spirit-filled. He was separated unto God. He was more concerned with his walk with God than his walk with fellow man. This was his testimony. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we are told we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Like Enoch, like Abel, and of course we will cover shortly Noah, all of them walked by faith and not by what they saw. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. You read that in Jude 4, verse 14 and 15. This represents spiritual perfection, seven. And Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Yes? So seven represents spiritual perfection and completeness. Now, Enoch prophesied. He spoke the word of God. He saw the second coming of Jesus by faith, and he prophesied about the coming judgment on false proponents of the gospel. Jude further encourages us to fight, to contend, and do battle. When apostasy arises, when false teachers emerge, when the truth is being attacked, it is time to fight for the faith. Only believers who are spiritually in shape can answer the summons. Enoch saw this and he prophesied. In verse 11, Hebrews 11, verse 6, is vitally linked to verse 5. The two connecting words are faith and please. Faith and please. Enoch pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. To believe in God and in what he has spoken amounts to pleasing him. One must believe that God is and that he is a rewarder. What do I mean by rewarder? A revealer of himself to those who diligently seek him. Nothing can be known or received unless we first believe in his existence. The starting point of all Bible faith is that God is. I say God is. He is present. He is with you. He is with me. He is present in our circumstance. And he wants to be involved in the affairs of his sons. It is the evidence, the inner conviction of the reality of God who is unseen. Secondly, there can be no greater reward than God revealing himself. He reveals himself through his word. So again, beloved, the word is foundational to your relationship with Abba Father. The word is foundational to you having an open heaven over you. The word is foundational for your preparation for life after death. So it is important in your preparation stage now to meet Jesus at his second coming, to love the word, to respect the word, to honor the word of God. In so doing, you will honor God and honor him, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. What lessons do we pick up from this hero of faith, Enoch? When we read Genesis 5, 21 to 24, we see that Enoch walked with God 300 years before he was taken away. It's a long time to walk with God. The scripture does not tell us he was taken to heaven, but he was taken away by God. Beloved, our destination is not a place called heaven, but a person called Christ. Yes, I do believe in a created heaven. But heaven is the throne of God according to scripture. You and I also need to walk with God. There are some requirements for this walk. Number one, righteousness. This is the imputed righteousness of Christ lived out inside of us and not our own righteousness. I urge you all to go listen again to the 23 sessions on righteousness done by Apostle Thamo Naidu. Not only righteousness, the next requirement is faith. Enoch believed that God existed and that God is a revealer of himself. According to Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. We are called, beloved, to live by faith and not by sight. Besides being righteous, besides having faith, we must be morally principled if we want to walk with God. We can't be messing up in our lives with our integrity, transparency, sincerity, faithfulness in our marriage, in our finances. All of those things come under scrutiny before we choose to walk with God. The Bible is filled with all the moral principles upheld and adhered to by Christ. Enoch was an upright man. He lived by the values that were dear to God the Father. That is why he could walk with God. The Bible tells us, can two walk together if they are not in agreement? Amos 3:3. Can you and God walk together if you do not agree on the same principles? Come on now. Besides righteous and having faith and being morally principled, if you want to walk with God, you must have humility. To walk with God, I'm certain, Enoch had to kill his ego. He had to allow God to dictate to his movements, and he had to surrender to the greater of both of them. In this instance, God is greater than him, so the lesser had to submit to to the greater. He had to submit to God. Paul would say to us in Galatians 2:20, and throughout this series, this verse of scripture has been popping up and has played a pivotal role in helping us to die successfully. This is what Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And fifthly, if you want to walk with God, there has to be a full surrender, full surrender. You are the sacrifice on the altar of God, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, totally consumed by fire and must be acceptable. Enoch diligently sought God. Now let's come to the third and final character of study today, Noah. So when we talked about Abel, we talked about the sacrifice of faith. When we talked about Enoch, we talked about the walk of faith. Let's look at Noah and the work of faith. Noah's name means repose, rest, or consolation. Noah represents the work of faith. We see this when we study Genesis chapter 6 right up to Genesis 10. Noah, as Enoch, walked with God. In 2 Peter 2 verse 5, he's called a preacher of righteousness. He was a covenant man. In fact, Ezekiel in chapter 14 verse 14 and verse 20, three names are mentioned: Noah, Daniel, and Job, and they're classed as faith righteous men. Faith righteous men. Noah is there, Daniel is there, and Job. The principle of faith is seen in his life. Hallelujah. This is a classic example of the last part of Hebrews 11 verse 1, things not seen. When God spoke to him of the coming rain and the flood, Noah had never seen rain before. The earth had been watered by a mist up till that time, a mist that came out of the ground. And that mist watered the ground. But when God spoke, Noah believed the word. God spoke, Noah believed the word. God spoke, I believe the word. God speaks, you must believe the word. Note again, as with the example of Enoch, the ground for faith was the word. He was warned of God. Again, we can rely on Romans 10:17. For this confirmation, faith comes by hearing the word of God, the voice of God, the instruction from God. The word of God came to him. He was moved by reverence and with a fear of God when God spoke. This is what we call active or living faith. It is faith obeying the word. Noah was moved by both passive faith and active faith. Passive faith in the fact that he believed the rain was coming, but he could not produce the rain. He trusted God to bring it and to fulfill his word. But in the preparation of the ark, this was active faith. God must bring the rain, but Noah must build the ark. Scripture says that he was a preacher of righteousness. He had godly fear. He saved his own house. He knew household salvation. 8 souls in his household were saved. The number 8 speaks to us of resurrection to new life, to a new beginning. In the ark, we have a symbolic revelation of the Godhead. It was a 3-storied building with only one door. All animals and all those who were saved were pointed to the door of salvation. When the door was shut, no one could open it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved in the work of redemption. Jesus himself is the door. Now, Noah's faith condemned the unbelief of the world. They refused to accept Noah's warning that came through preaching. They mocked the building of the ark. The same ark which saved Noah and his family could have saved the others if they had only believed. Note the words of Jesus in warning us. that the conditions in the days of Noah will exist just prior to his second coming. We read of this in Luke 17, verse 26 and 27. Take this as a warning. Take this as a prophetic warning. The days of Noah are being repeated today. All over the earth, you can see the same stuff that took place, immorality and all types of sin that took place during the time of Noah is taking place today. Corruption, immorality, mixture, giants, evil imaginations, and violence in the world. Noah became the heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Now, Paul captures this brilliantly in the letter to the Romans. Noah is a wonderful character of faith. He did not compromise the word to get people into the ark. He preached the word of faith. What are the lessons that we can learn today from this story or this character called Noah? The story of Noah, beloved, demonstrates that faith involves obedience. Yes, obedience. I say that again, obedience in the face of the unseen things that have never happened before, namely the flood. The Bible mentions twice in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, and Genesis chapter 7, verse 5, that Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So when God speaks, you must do, beloved. Many of us are landing ourselves in trouble because God is speaking through sermons, teachings, instruction from delegated authority, but you are not doing. You're not conducting your ministry well. You're not conducting your calling well. Some of you have shirked on your duties in the local house. Whatever it is, you are rising up against God and his commands. But Noah did according to all that God commanded him. And it says, so he did. He did according to all that God commanded, so he did. He preached for 120 years before the flood came. We must consistently be obedient to God and his commandments. And not just when it is convenient for us. Beloved, stop working for the Lord out of convenience. Whoever you are, whatever you involve with, I want you to be consistent in your obedience in executing your functions in ministry and not work out of convenience. Christianity today has become a religion of convenience. Believers do not want to negotiate their time to witness, to intercede, and to attend corporate gatherings. How about giving 100% of your life to God for him to use you as he designs and as he plans? Thirdly, God's timing is perfect in any situation. God called Noah to start building the ark when he was 500 years old. You are called to trust God's timing in any situation. Isaiah tells us that God's thoughts and ways are not like man's. His ways and thoughts are higher. And if you think that your prayers are not being answered by God, or the relief from suffering is not immediately felt, know that his timing is always perfect. Never early, never late. You cannot improve something that's already perfect. Just surrender your life to him. Just surrender. That's all. Now, number four, Noah did not find grace in the eyes of man, but he found grace in the eyes of God. He chose to be influenced by the commandments of God. You have a choice to live like Noah or find yourself outside the boat like the others. Like Noah, by now, every dad should be showing great concern in getting his life right with God and preparing to save his entire family from the impending judgment and wrath that is about to fall on the earth. Amen. So I pray the study of the faith of Abel, Enoch, and Noah will prompt you to live upright, sincere, and obedient lives on the eve of the second coming of Jesus. Shalom. Amen.